Do you feel now more than ever that you need to make a shift in your wellness? Listen to this podcast, Inner Wellness, with Dr. Naz Parsian. Let's make the shift happen. Episode 22, podcast Inner Wellness. 22, is it a good number? All right, so I'm going to talk to you today by myself about anxiety. I know that a couple of times before I talked about anxiety, but this time I feel that I still need to talk about it because a lot of people are dealing with it. And let's just make it something joyful and make it neutralized to be able to live our life in the healthiest and the most joyful way. So let's just start with the beautiful quote from Rumi. All your anxiety is because of your desire for harmony. That's the best interpretation of anxiety, yes? Okay, so I'm going to introduce five simple strategies for you to apply just to neutralize your anxiety or perhaps make it more joyful for your healthiest life. So if this is resonating with you, then be with me. Hello, inner wellness seekers. Hello, my friends. It's March 2021, and I can't believe that we already passed 2 months of 2021. It's just going really fast. And the world is still dealing with a lot of chaotic situations. We know it, but the life is different now. And many of us actually grown up in this situation and learned a lot of different things because the world was very different. And to me, challenges are always opportunities to learn more. And learning is an ongoing process, is a never-ending process. And the exciting part is the more you learn, the more you go to the pathway of growth, the more you feel that you need to learn. This is something which is happening in my life, and I get, you know, more hungry when I go further and further in my growth journey. I know that a lot of us are still dealing with so many difficult situations, or maybe anxiety and uncertainty about the future, what's happening, and So today I'm going to introduce five very simple strategies, like a formula to be able to manage or kind of neutralize your anxiety or maybe a stress. So I know that I talked before in the previous episodes about stress a lot. I actually talked about it a lot. And I also talked about panic attack, you know, anxiety. And I would definitely suggest to go back to and listen to those episodes if you are interested to know more about it. But today I'm going to formulate a really simple and straightforward five strategies that you can apply when you are anxious. So the very first thing that I'm not sure if I talked about it before is about changing your relationship with anxiety or meaning making. I always talk about meaning making because I'm just a fan of, you know, meaning and how we can make in every given situation, how we can make a new meaning. So the meaning you give to the anxiety and the situation or the anxious person, that might be you, that meaning and reframing your perspective can change a lot of things. So how you can change or how you can make the new meaning out of, you know, an anxiety or stressful situation. It's all about changing your relationship with anxiety or changing your relationship with who you are as an anxious person, and changing your relationship with your any intense emotions. And as I talked previously, I think a lot about be friend with your emotions and communicate with them, because your emotions always have something to tell you. Your emotions are always signals for you to pay attention, because they actually coming from your body, and they have a strong and meaningful message for you. So the very first thing is just asking yourself about what is this feeling? What is this anxiety? What is this anxiety trying to tell me about myself, about my life, about my health, about my work, about my relationships, about everything? So that's the very first thing that you need to consider when you want to change your relationship with anxiety. Another thing that is important for changing your relationship with anxiety is do not escape, do not avoid, because a lot of times we take an avoidance approach or a strategy to deal with anxiety, which is not, definitely it's not working, and it's making the anxiety bigger and bigger. So I read an example, I think, you know, somewhere, and I just remember that example, and I'm going to share with you. If, for example, your child is anxious and has fear at time about something, I don't know, something she or he may see a monster, yeah, under the bed, and she thinks there is a monster under the bed. So what do you do as a parent? If you are one of those parents that is straight away going to turn the light on, or just get the flashlight and go down and look under the bed for the monster, that is not the best way. If you just, you know, looking for the monster and say, oh, there is nothing there, that is not the best way. And that is not actually reducing the fear in your child. The best way is you can go and sit in their bed and then starting to talk to monster. Oh my God, yeah, there is a monster there, and just starting to talk. Hi monster, what's going on? Okay. So this is the way that you teach your child to communicate with his or her fear rather than avoiding, because avoidance always makes things bigger and bigger. The other thing which is important when you consider your relationship with anxiety is, I'm sure that you have heard that metaphor about the two wolves. This is a very famous metaphor. The grandfather is telling his grandson, there is a war going on inside of me between two wolves. One is a bad wolf and another one is a good wolf. One is positive and, you know, kind, and another one is just so bad and like evil and angry. And there's a fight between these two. And the grandson reflects for a moment and asks the grandfather, well, which wolf is going to win, right? So there's a fight. One of those wolves should win somehow. And the grandfather pauses and says, the wolf that you feed, yeah? So that's again about your relationship with anxiety. If you feed kindness and love and self-compassion to your anxiety, then anxiety is going smaller and smaller and just releasing. But if you do the other way, if you just focus and put your attention on the negative or the anger, fear, those stuff, then that anxiety gets bigger and bigger. So it's very much about how, you know, you focus and where, you know, your focus is, your energy flows where you focus. So if you focus on the good stuff, your energy flows towards the good stuff. And then the whole, you know, anxiety loop can change. So this is about your relationship with anxiety. So that's very important. And that's a very first strategy that you need to consider. So the more compassion you give to your anxious part, you give to yourself, you give to your feeling, the better you feel. So instead of just saying, and also your self-talk, instead of just you saying, what's wrong with me? There is something wrong with my brain. There is something wrong with me. I'm just broken. I can't manage it. It's just, instead of just saying these things, you may just say something positive and say, okay, so what do I have now that can keep me safe? I am breathing. I have support. I have care around me. I have myself. I have my health. I have my healthy body. So the way you just talk to yourself is changing your state. So instead of just avoiding, instead of just controlling, just kind of control coping, which is not the best way, as I talked previously before about coping, the term coping, which is not always the best. So instead of avoiding and control coping, just be friend. Just be friend with you, with your anxious you, and give it some love. And that can stop, you know, this spiral out of control situation. Number two is about changing your attention, but using some methods. So they use the term FACTS, foundational attention centering techniques, using some tools, using some techniques that we talked previously about, meditation, breathing techniques. They're all techniques that can change your attention and just get your attention centered into your body. However, that might not be 100% suitable for everyone, because a lot of time we might have heard that people say that they are not able to do meditation, or they don't like really mindfulness, or they don't want to, or they don't feel comfortable for just some personal reasons. This is very important for you to consider your own needs. Where are you at? What are your values? What are your interests? What do you really love? And if you are a coach or a consultant, also you need to consider these things for your client, because what we suggest and every single approach must be person-centered, must be just centered, you know, centered in the core individual needs and values. So that's why we need just to consider all, you know, the individual and cultural diversity when we suggest strategies to our clients. Or if you do, you know, use the strategies for you, you need to consider your own core needs and values and what is more meaningful for you. So if, for example, meditation or mindfulness is not resonating with you, no pressure. You need to find out what is resonating with you to change and change the direction, change the attention, and help you turn your attention towards your center. For example, for many people, might be music. Music might be a good tool if the person doesn't like mindfulness or is not able or connecting to those quiet meditation. they can just simply use music as a regulatory strategy. So you can play around the different songs and beats rather than mindfulness strategy of the breath, and then see what rhythm or what beat is just more connecting to you and to your body. And that could be a way of redirecting your attention. And that is a grounding strategy. So yes, so the second strategy is just changing your attention, centering your attention by using different tools, breathing that I talked about breathing previously a lot. But what I'm going to focus on breathing right now is when you are anxious, you might not be it might not be really easy for you just to concentrate on your breathing and just, you know, expand or prolong your exhalation or just do the abdominal breathing. That's why I always suggest just start with really smooth breathing and feel your heart. All you can do is just feel the sensation. As long as you feel the sensation of your breath, you connect your breath. And then it's easier for you just to regulate your breath. And sometimes, you know, the breathing regulations just coming by itself with no effort. As soon as you feel it, you sense it, and you connect with your sensation. And always make sure that you sense other, you know, signals from different parts of your body at the same time. So yes, that's the second strategy that can help you, just centering your attention using any particular tools that can help you connect to your own body sensation and your own core body energy. The third strategy is about expressive, creative strategy. This strategy also could be very different for different people. So a lot of people can express their feelings, or they can be really creative through writing. Some people can be creative through painting or drawing. Some people can be creative and express, you know, their emotions through exercise, movement, and dancing. For me, for example, dance is really powerful. Writing, drawing, painting, dance, movement, they're all powerful for me, and I'm using in different contexts. So this strategy is just focusing about using an expressive creative strategies, whatever can work for you. Just focus on something that can really work for you and something that can really give you more joy. The fourth strategy is about your healthy lifestyle and self-care. I'm sure I talked before about, you know, in different episodes about the right diet and, you know, limiting or eliminating sugar. That's something very important to consider when you want to just for any kind of health. It's very important to, because sugar is bad, you know, for everything, to be honest. So but still, you don't have to just push yourself too much. You can just have a bit of disciplines to change your habits for your diet. And just instead of just replace, you know, the good stuff with, for example, if you are tending just to go to just to attack the chocolate, you may just replace it with something else. So this is the best way you can change your habits, and always you need to do bit by bit. So just one tweak in one time. Definitely exercise, movement can work with both, number three and number four, with both expressive strategies and self-care, because a lot of time your emotional pain, your anxiety can be released from your body by movement. So that's why I suggested dance in the last one, expressive strategies as well. Okay, so strategy number four, number five, yeah, it's number five, is about reflection. Reflection is actually the last step in everything, perhaps the first and last, because you always need to be able to reflect on how things worked and how did they go through to understand and realize if you need to get back to do differently, or if you need to do some revision, or yeah. So reflection is very important, and that's the fifth strategy that you need to use for further exploration. It's kind of self-exploration, self-observation. When do these things come up? What triggers my anxiety? What am I feeling? What am I thinking? So, what's your thoughts? What's your feelings? What's your emotions? With no judgment. We talked before that there is no judgment here. Just be observant and just watch them. And ask yourself the questions that can bring you further explorations about yourself, without self-critiquing, without self-judging. So at the same time that you give yourself love, you observe yourself. It's like that you're talking with someone, so you're talking with yourself. It's very much like that you're talking with someone that you're going to care about, that you're going to give her or him more love. So that's a way that you need to talk to yourself in your reflection. So just to pack up, the very first thing was changing your relationship with anxiety. That is the very important, and the way you interpret your anxiety and yourself as an anxious person, you may just interpret like that this anxiety is arising because I care about this, because I care about this person, because I care about myself, because I care about the situation. So this is a new interpretation that you give your anxiety, instead of just saying that I'm so bad, I don't belong here, there is something wrong with me. So change your interpretation and change your relationship with anxiety. This is a very important first step. So some other, possible interpretation might be available for you. For example, there, a lot of different interpretation. For example, if I can't control, if this is something, my mind is out of control in this way, but I feel that I'm anxious and I don't want to avoid it, and I accept myself and I work on it. So just create different interpretation. That is helping for further stages, for further, number two, three, four, and five. So the very first fundamental stage is creating a new relationship, a new meaning of anxiety and yourself as an anxious self. Give yourself compassion, give yourself more love. And in a nutshell, the second one was just centering your attention using any tools. We suggested previously breathing tools, and I discussed in the previous episodes in details about breathing techniques. The simplest one is heart breathing, with no pressure, with no, it's not really intentional, powerful breathing, but that is really working, when you are in an anxious state. And it's so powerful because it's connected to the energy of heart. But definitely there are other tools. So if you are, for example, an amazing journaler, you can use that one. You can use writing. If you are, I don't know, the music song writer, you can do that. If you enjoy music listening, you can use that as a tool. So whatever you think you feel that you can use to regulate your state at the time, and just, you know, just it's more grounding. So use that tool to center your attention. And the next one was about expressive and creative approach strategies, that you could do anything that is more creative, like dance, like writing, painting, drawing, whatever is more creative, or exercise. Number four was about self-care. Whatever self-care is not just about, definitely there is no problem if you want to go to the, I don't know, hairdresser or do makeup or just, you know, do some shoppings. But some people just consider these things, only these things, as self-care. But self-care is deeper than that. It's beyond than that. Self-care is more about, because a lot of time we do those stuff just as an avoidance strategy, not as self-care. So yeah, self-care is more about just giving love to your body and what your body really needs, about, you know, what you need to put in your body, about your exercise, about your lifestyle, about your joyful relationship, about your joyful moments in life. So these are all about self-care, number four. And number five was about reflection. So just do further exploration about the situation and ask questions to explore further with no judgment, with no self-critic, and just be a very clear and non-judgmental observer and explorer of the situation. So yes, so these are the five strategies that I just introduced. But we know that a lot of times we might not be quite successful because we may just, you know, get stuck in the loop of future, or a lot of time we may just get stuck in the loop of the past. Again, just to break that loop, we need to use those strategies to centering your attention. And that's why I mentioned use any strategies that can work for you and that the ones resonating with you in the moment. Because if, for example, you force yourself to do meditation in that moment and you're not really resonating and connecting to meditation or mindfulness, you may just get back to your thoughts trap, or, you know, just you know, the past loop again and again and again, and then you may just, you know, get frustrated and anxious more and just get angry about why I can't control my mind. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that because that can increase your anxiety. So just use any tools that is resonating with you at the time, that is going to be joyful, and you feel that is a grounding tool centering your attention. Whatever, even, you know, I'm not really a fan of social media or, you know, TV or movie, but if that works in that moment, just to centering and grounding your attention, you can use that one if it works for you, not as a habit, but just something that can give you, in the very first place, can give you the opportunity to center. And when you center, then you can go to the further, use further approaches or strategies, like, you know, breathing and mindfulness and those things. And exercise is always one of the best ones, to be honest, that can be applied from the very beginning. But still, some people may not find it really comfortable to start with when they are in the middle of the just in the deep middle of the anxiety loop. Okay, so yep, so these are the five strategies that you can possibly apply. Let me know if you apply them, and if you have any feedback, don't name. Don't judge, just observe it and see how it works, how it works for you, and if any changes, any moderation, any revisions needed, then you can go back to the circle and do the five stages again to make it work better. Okay, so thank you for your listening, and thank you so much for people who are downloading my podcast, listening to it. I really appreciate this connection. I really appreciate this. It's so exciting for me that I'm just connecting to people across the globe. That is so, so, so exciting, and it's thrilling my heart, and I love it. But I really love to hear about your feedback too. So please give me feedback. So today I just was by myself too, but definitely I invite more guests to the show. Let me know if you prefer some specific topics to be discussed more, because I can talk, and I can invite guests talking about everything, to be honest, in relation to holistic health and more inner wellness, because I certainly believe that wellness and health is an inside job. So take care and be good until next time. Bye for now. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed, and I'm very looking forward to hear from you for any inputs, suggestions, and also your subscriptions. Thank you.